Welcome everybody to From Rock Bottom to Badass, and I've got my brand new friend Teresa V on the show today. Thank you for being here. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm pretty excited. Our energy is already like really bubbly and fun. So, so tell all the people, who are you?
I'm Teresa V. I'm just a person, and I help a lot of people who are spiritually sensitive and empathetic to really find their footing in this world and to claim their gifts as the superpowers that they are.
Ah, okay. So thank you for being here. Oh my God, I'm so excited. That's like, I think the very first big endeavor that I had to go on in order to do any of the other things that I've done. I had to get like really comfortable with being a sensitive person spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. How does that show up for you? Now I'm interviewing you.
For me, I'm very empathic. I can feel other people's feelings. I have a little bit of, I think, all of the clairs, you know, the clair, mm-hmm. clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience. I have a lot of clairsentience. So I do, you know, sudden knowings of information that I shouldn't know. You know, there's no reason why I should know this thing. You know what I mean? And a lot of feeling strongly what other people are feeling. I'm the one that's like, hey girl, are you okay? Cause I just like really think that you're not okay. No, I'm not okay. And it's like, how would you know that? You know, I just feel things and know things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. Cause I remember the first time I discovered that this wasn't a thing for most of the people, right? I didn't know, like, we don't know. This is just how we are. It's our experience of the world. Mm-hmm. And I went into a yoga class with the person who was teaching me to become a teacher. And I was the only one who showed up, which is really weird because generally on like Thursday night, there were like 50 people in class and I was the only one who showed up. So like universe was working its magic, right? And, you know, she's like, well, if you think that I'm going to teach you yoga, you're out of your mind. So let's just sit and talk. So we sat and we talked, and in talking, I was like, you know how like when you walk into a room and you can feel what every single person is feeling and you know who's angry and who's depressed and who's happy. And she's like, okay, do you realize that this isn't a thing that everybody can do? And I was like, what? Are you serious? Like, this isn't a thing? And she's like, well, it's a thing for you, but it's not something everyone can do. And I was like, whoa. Like in that moment, so much in my life made sense. Like I understood so many other people because my frame was always like, how could these people be acting this way when it's so obvious, like blah, 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 but it's not obvious for everybody. It's only obvious for about 20% of the population. And I had no idea.
Yeah, I've had I think one of the biggest struggles I've had as an empath is feeling like other people don't love me or understand me the mm-hmm. way that I do them, because, you know, and it just happened to be okay that they love me in a normal human way or something. And I'm like, nobody understands me, because like I get other people on such a deep level, like I can feel what they feel. So I understand it so much more. And I don't know, I think always been a little painful that I don't get it back in the same way, because it feels like it should be so easy.
Mm-hmm. It's like, to a degree, like however it shows up in each of our lives, we are the healers of the world. You know, that doesn't mean you have to be like out there as a healer or a doctor or a nurse. You could be a healer and be an accountant. Like you are a healer of the world. And so you're designed to anticipate your own needs and the needs of others, you know, because that's how we focus on wellness, you know? And so when people don't do that for us, when it's like, well, couldn't you see that I was hurting? No, they couldn't. But when we don't receive the love in the way that we need it, it's very lonely. And it's actually causes a lot of us to close down early in life, you know, just shut it off, shut it down. And then later, sometime it demands to be opened again.
100%. So is your... you coming into your own sensitivities is that's like your rebirth scenario? That's when life really started for you, or when you began a journey of kind of coming into who you are?
It's interesting because I feel like the early part of my life was me trying to navigate around it. You know, I remember I would see things in the middle of the night that my parents didn't know how to explain. So they would just say, oh, your eyes are playing tricks on you, you know, but being able to see it and feel it was something different than just being able to see it and really believing that. So in order to sleep, like there were 3 years where I didn't sleep. So in order to sleep, I had to shut it down and just be like, nope, that's it. And so that's what I did. But the interesting part of that was, even as a child, when there was a message that needed to be conveyed to somebody, or there was healing that needed to be done, even though I was shut down on a subconscious or a conscious level, that message came through. You know, like there was the vision that needed to be. I remember at 9 years old communicating to my aunt that if she didn't stop smoking, she was going to end up in the hospital dying because of smoking, you know, and that wasn't like a thing that 9 year olds in my family, it was like children are seen and not heard, and you don't, you know, speak up or speak out to adults. And it became like a big thing because I said this to her and she took it personally and was really upset. Well, PS, that was when I was nine. When I was almost 16, the exact vision that I saw of her being in the hospital bed, bald, still smoking, but having no idea what she was doing, like that played out. And, you know, it broke my heart because it was like, she could have really embraced this message and changed, but instead there was a lot of suffering. And so, you know, it was those moments where even though we're shut down, it proves that like when there's healing that needs to come through, when there's an opportunity that needs to come through, it will still come through. And then I think I was, it was probably like 10 years after that the gifts started demanding to be opened again. It was, you know, I was having electrical problems. Like I would be in the office. It was less than 10 years. I'd be in the office and every day at like 3 o'clock when my body started telling me, you need to get up and walk around. You can't sit here anymore. And I'd start to have that internal frustration. My computer would blink off.
Yeah.
And my boss took it to get fixed like 5 times and there was nothing wrong with it, you know? And then like I went through stereo equipment. I'm in New York. I would walk under street lamps and they would go out, you know? And so it was like, that's how it started to like demand to be noticed again and open up.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. I definitely resonate with the like inability to stay sitting, like your body telling you, you need to get up and you need to move. And I work with clients one-on-one and I have a ritual now of going and grounding outside in the grass barefoot in between each client, you know, because I get so entangled
mm-hmm.
in their energy that I have to kind of go, like, I can't sit still at an office seeing clients all day long like that. Like you have, it's definitely a different way of self-care that you have to learn to do. That's mm-hmm. different than like other people's self-care when you have sensitivities, right?
Yeah. It's like, oh, let's hug a tree. But you know, I want to say yes, like that is when my life opened up, but it opened up in a way that didn't really shift things. It was more like I came back to who I truly was. And so things got easier because I didn't have to expend all of my energy holding all of this energy inside and pretending it didn't exist. I could just open up and let go. And it took a lot less effort to just be who I was, even though I was terrified because I didn't have, I didn't have a framework as an example until later in life.
Can you tell me about some of the things that you went through that were, like you said, like a lot of effort and that was hard to do and, you know, the issues that it caused to have this kind of gift and then be trying to live life without it being on the forefront?
Well, the funny thing is that you don't know when you don't know any other way. So like, I didn't know it was because I was trying to hold all of this energy. And so some of the things that were manifesting in my life were physical and physiological problems. Like I was manifesting illnesses in my body that had no explanation at all. They didn't make sense for me to have them at my age with my health, you know, not being a smoker, not being a meat eater. Like, it was just like, why are some of these things happening? Some other things were like, I had anxiety at various points in my life, you know, a very high anxiety that would just all of a sudden I would pass out. Yeah. No idea that it was because I wasn't being my authentic self. I wasn't embracing the fullness of myself. And since I've actually learned, you know, I live in an area, there's a lot of mediums around here, and every medium says the same thing. It's like they all had like these massive anxiety issues until they opened their gifts. And so those were some of the big things. And I remember the day I realized how much energy I spent holding myself up, because like you said, people don't know how to love me the way I need to be loved. So I had to like hold that all up myself, be my own framework, be my own confidant. And, you know, in a less than helpful way. I was in Shavasana after a yoga class one day, and it was a really good yoga class, the first good one I had taken. And it was at an office I was working in at the time at the gym. So like you're with all your coworkers in this yoga class. And it was the first time that I let myself relax and be held up by the floor beneath me, by Mother Earth. And I just remember the feeling and sobbing uncontrollably, because it was literally the first time I had been relaxed in almost my whole life. And that moment I made myself a promise. I was like, I am going to help other people feel this feeling, because I think a lot of people I know have never felt this. And so that was the moment I decided this was my path.
Yeah. I remember a similar moment along my journey where I used to use a lot of like drugs and alcohol to cover up my gifts or to deal with the consequences, you know, that came from trying to pretend that you're not the way you are. And in my early recovery, I remember, you know, my gifts started to come back to me, and I was sitting outside drinking coffee early in the morning, and I'm like, hear this voice. And it's like, put your feet in the ground. Your shoes off, put your feet in the grass, take your shoes off. And I was like, you know, excuse me,
like HP, really?
Right. And then so I'm like, okay. And then I really, you know, connected to Mother Earth for like the first time ever. And I learned to clear my chakras. And I remember having that same bawling, crying. I did my first chakra meditation that I'd ever done. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, I cannot believe that I've been carrying around all of this junk. All of this energy has been just stuffed inside of my spirit. No wonder. And I've been this disconnected from my earth. No wonder. Right. It made sense to me why I had so many issues. And definitely, I didn't feel like, you know, it took a lot of the guilt off of me, that I felt like I did something wrong or bad to like have all of these issues. And then it was like, well, no wonder.
Yeah. I have never in my life met somebody in the rooms of recovery who like actually stays there and tries to work it that is not highly sensitive.
Yeah.
Never. Yeah.
I think it's a common thing for a lot of us.
Yeah. It's alcohol, drugs, caffeine, abusing food, like anything like that. It's smoking. Those are all our ways of trying to ground ourselves back into the body. They're maladaptive ways, but they're the only ways that we know how, because we haven't had the experience of being safe in our body, because people can't love and hold us the way we need to be. Yeah. And the flip side of that also is there's an addiction to people pleasing, you know, and there's an addiction to codependency. And so that's another form of maladaptive behavior to deal with our sensitivity and our natural propensity for healing.
And I don't even get me started going down the road of how it all is related to this core issue of self-worth, because I'll be here all day.
Definitely. Yeah, no, apps 100 million percent. Let's just put it that way. It all comes back to self-worth and feeling ourselves as separate from our higher power, separate from the divine, wanting to go back to that connection and not being able to establish it with the other people that we're around, like not having that be understood. And that's why so many of us like love animals, because they get it. You know, we love plants because they get it. Yeah. So it's, yeah, it can be very lonely, especially early in recovery or early in your process of honoring and acknowledging your sensitivities. It can be lonely because there's like almost like this shedding of the snake skin that causes you to see everything around you and has to, and it necessitates you removing yourself from a lot of situations you found yourself in before and being worried, am I going to be even lonelier than I am now? But the answer is no, because what happens is as we increase our self-worth, as we increase that ability to connect with ourselves, with the earth, with the divine, we start magnetizing people like us to ourselves. We start finding ourselves in places with people who can relate to our life experiences. And this is the magic of life when we put down our defenses, is that we end up exactly where we need to be.
Beautifully said, 100%. Can you tell me talk to me about making it through the moments, like, so before you really learned how to deal with or live with, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, your gifts, what did you do to make it through the moments before?
I pushed myself, you know. So I come from a lineage of immigrants. I'm first generation in this country. And my dad taught me specifically, if there's something that you want to accomplish and the odds are against you, push harder and do it anyway. And so I was expending ridiculous amounts of energy pushing with my solar plexus, like just pushing myself through things. And I wouldn't say I was exhausted, but I would definitely say my energy was depleted. Like, I didn't have enough energy for my body to heal itself. I didn't have enough energy to get the quality sleep I wanted, or enough energy to make sure that my self-worth was in check. You know, like, I was living in an apartment that was being filled with smoke from the people who were living around me. And rather than find my way out of that, I just stayed because I didn't have the energy or the resources to do that. And it was, you know, so there was some hard stuff for me, because when I'm depleted physically, I can't handle the emotional and mental things. And that's all of us as humans, whether we're sensitive or not. When our basic human needs aren't being met, we can't focus on the spiritual stuff. We can't focus on the self-worth, and it becomes a vicious cycle. So that's how it was for me. Yeah.
Well, can you go in a little bit more about the spiritual side of coming into yourself?
Yeah, it was interesting because I was always spiritual, like my whole life. I grew up in the framework of religion, and I very quickly discovered that there was no place for me within that, in the way that I saw myself needing to lead. Like, from being very young, I intuitively knew that I was a spiritual leader. And, you know, I remember being in third grade and saying, I want to become a priest. And the priest saying, well, you can't. And I was like, why not? He says, because you're a girl. And I was like, what sense does that make? You know, and then having this deep reverence for spirituality, but also being at odds with the way it was being presented to me. So one of the best things that ever happened to me was I found myself in the rooms of recovery, because it gave me permission and the need to find a relationship with my higher power that was different than the one that was given to me at birth, which I had used and developed and cultivated and found my own way with that too. But this was the permission slip that I needed to expand on that. And so finding what does that mean? What does connecting with the divine mean to me on the day-to-day basis? Embracing my connection. Like, my connection didn't come from being gathered with people and worshiping. My connection came from going to the gym. My connection came from being outside. Like, when I connect with my body, I am connected with the divine, and honoring that this is a temple that houses the divine. So how would I be taking care of a temple? That's the way I need to take care of my body. And that's when everything started to shift for me, when I really started taking care of my body as if it were the church or the temple. I've lost track of the question now, but I just go with like what comes. But the spirituality opened up for me and gave me this expanded view of the world and of who I was. And I actually remember the same day that we're talking about, you know, I went in and this teacher said to me, you know, not everybody can do that. Yeah. She said, I'm really tired of having to change my light bulbs every time you come to class. So like, I'm too old to be getting up on a ladder all the time. So I need you to go take this class. And she handed me a flyer for a Reiki training. And during my yoga teacher training, I had been having these dreams where the teachers were teaching me in five dimensions instead of three. So it was really weird, but there was always somebody standing behind me speaking with a very distinctive voice that I never saw. I just knew the voice. Mm-hmm. And so I signed up for this training because, you know, I felt bad about the ladder and the light bulbs. But the funny thing was, I was really scared because my framework was still super religious. And I was like, well, is this something that I should be uncomfortable with? I wasn't sure. So I went and I walked in the door and the woman grabbed me by the arms, like very gently. And she looked me in the eye and she said, I know you. We know each other. And it was literally in that moment where I dropped all of the protective armor that I had put up between me and my gifts. And it was the voice that had been in my dream. It was her voice all along. And I felt fully seen and fully understood for the first time ever. Like, this was a woman living in her gifts, that we knew each other at the soul level. And I knew that it was okay for me to live in mine. And I trusted that they would open up at the right pace for me. And for me, I think that moment was the most profound moment of my life, because it was the moment I embraced all of myself. And that's what I seek to create for my clients now, is that moment of feeling fully seen and accepted and understood, regardless of who you are or how you show up.
I feel like in so many ways we're like the same person.
I know, right?
I'm like, oh my God, yes. Oh my God, me too. You know, yeah. except for like, I found a place and then where other people were doing like their metaphysical thing and totally did not feel super loved and accepted. It was like another thing, completely different than your experience. I always thought it was going to be something like that for me. Like, then somebody would just be like, I've been waiting for you. And that would never happen.
It may happen still.
Well, I found it. I found it in the world.
Yeah.
I feel belonging everywhere now. So what are you still battling? What do you still struggle with? What are you working on today as somebody that's fully, you know, just in her authentic power and gifts?
I think the biggest thing that I struggle with today is leaving space in my life. Like, everything, I do everything with just a little too much stuff in the way. So my schedule is just a little bit too crowded. You know, my space is just a little bit too small. You know, it's like I'm at places and we stay just a little bit too long. You know, it's really honoring the element of space in my life and actively creating more of it. That's really where my ongoing learning is.
Yeah, I get that, especially when you start moving towards your purpose, you know, you just keep getting more dreams and more dreams and more visions and more goals. It just keeps expanding once you start heading in that direction, that you're like, I don't have enough time in my whole life to do it. Well, I got to do it.
I know. Even with the ability to expand time, like it just, it's still too much.
Too much. Dang linear time concept. Can you talk about, you've talked a lot about your supports. And you've talked a lot about the way that they supported you. Who do you think is like the number one support that you had along your journey?
So I would say there have been so many different people in so many different ways, but I would say from the very moment that I was conceived, my great aunt was my greatest supporter. She was somebody who really knew how to love unconditionally, you know, and so she knew how to play. Like regardless, she was 95 when she died and she played every single day of her life. And she was my greatest inspiration. And I find still to this day, she's been gone for quite a while now, but I still strive to be like her every day. So her example is still there. Her support is still felt.
That is beautiful. Do you have one thing I love so much is quotes and sayings and mottos and stuff like that, that I can kind of hold on to in the moments where I may be struggling with something. Do you have a favorite?
I do. It's by Emerson. And it goes something like who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's one of my absolute favorites.
How is it still ringing? I turned off everything. Who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Awesome, awesome. Okay, so now if you had to give one piece of advice to somebody that was like a younger version of you that's going through all the things that you've been through, you could just tell them one thing, what would it be?
Everything you need is inside of you, and it's okay to be who you are. So it's like a two-parter.
I'll take it. I'll take both parts. So can you tell us where you're going from here? What's next for you along your journey?
Oh, wow. So I've been
handsomeness and everything.
Yeah. So like I have been so blessed, you know, I'm a spiritual teacher and I do all the things, but I also, what's interesting is there's not a lot of colleagues of mine that they're very like woo woo and out here, which is beautiful and necessary, but there's not a lot of groundedness. And one of the things that I love about being in this body is being able to work with it and have fun and play and be part of this world and love this world for what it is. So it's really for me now bringing some of the more airy work that I've done down into the earth. And I also see the challenges we're facing as a planet now, as a species. I see the necessity of opening our view to be more expansive in order to be able to handle the challenges and our relationship with the earth as we move forward. So I've been a student of Ayurveda for a long time. So I have decided to really go intensely into Ayurvedic science so that I can bring that perspective even more and really ground that in to all the things as we move forward.
That's a beautiful goal. I resonate with everything you just said. Again, I began doing like energy work and stuff like that and re-energy readings with people, and then kind of had to change my whole brand and switch everything to more focusing on my coaching so I could do the grounded practical one-on-one stuff a little bit more.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, we got to be here, you know, we got to be here with the new beings.
and the spiritual teachings are great, but for me personally, they mean nothing if I can't walk out of the room and apply them to my life. You know, it's like, that's the way I like to learn. That's the way I like to teach. I like to have something like an action point to do when I leave, if it feels resonant, you know, not because somebody told me to do it, because it feels true to me. So I think that's really important, is the action piece of everything that we've been feeling, learning, and studying.
Beautifully said. Now, tell the people where to go to find you if they want to learn more about you and your work and what you do, if they want to sign up to get some help from you. Where can the people go?
Awesome. Well, they can go to teresave.com, TheresaVee.com. And then you can search for me on various social media as Teresa V. So you'll find me on like Facebook, Instagram, like, you know, all the usual. So I would love to connect with all of you who are feeling sensitive and empathetic, or who even maybe have family members who are children, you know, and need a little help figuring out how to best support them so that they're not sitting here talking the way we are someday.
Right. Yeah. 100%. All right, guys. Well, I totally suggest that you go check out Teresa V on all of her things. And if you want links to her stuff to make it easier, everything will be in the show notes.
This episode is brought to you by Phoenix Overhead Doors. At Phoenix Overhead Doors, you hire a repairman, not a salesman. That's their slogan. Phoenix Overhead Doors is repair and install service by a true repairman that won't upsell or upcharge. The only thing going up is your garage door. With over 7 years of experience in the industry, they're the experts that you need to take care of your home or business. And that's why they'll treat your home as if it was their own. And that's why they get 5-star ratings and great reviews from all of their customers. You can call and schedule your free estimate today and get honest and trusted advice that empowers you to make the best decision for your family on your budget. Check out www.phoenixoverhead.com for more info, or to use their website to schedule yourself a free estimate. You can also call 502-528-0581. Phoenix Overhead Doors is guaranteed to rise.